everybody. Praise the Lord, it's been so great to be here at camp. As I look around and I eyeball some of the people that I know in the auditorium here tonight, there are some particular words that come to mind. Foolish, weak, base, despised. We could actually, I just saw Louise Conagrave. Every one of those, she looked at Greg and gave a little tick mark. Don't look at the other people next to you and say, yes, I know who he's talking. Don't do it. Because we're actually talking about all of you and me. We're talking about all of us. Would you all turn to 1 Corinthians, if you would, just chapter 1. Somehow it seems that these are some of the qualities that God had a look and he said, I can work with that. They weren't a people, this doesn't actually fit with the people of this world, say, who count themselves as being strong and better than everybody else and so on. Lord had a look around and said, who can I work with? Who will actually follow me? We actually get those words from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We'll just read from verse 27 to 28. It says that God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. As God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty, and base things of the world and things which are despised has God chosen, and things which are not, I mean, worth nothing, to bring to naught things that are. It's quite an amazing thing that God should look for some of these attributes and saying that they're the people who I'm going to choose to persuade those who've not yet believed in the God of the Bible or in the Jesus of the Bible, that they're going to persuade them to believe. We can find plenty of other places where that, you know, we could talk about humility and various other things. Just back to verse 18. Still chapter 1, verse 18. It says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but to us which are saved, that's the power of God. We've got an insight, and we'll read about that afterwards. It says, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I'll bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. The question comes, where is the wise? We could read in there, where's the clever philosopher? Where's the scribe? Where's the educated scholar? There are various ones of those that try to present themselves to Jesus and try to get him to be a little bit confused. But of course he wasn't. Where's the disputer of this world? You know, the debater. And some of us, actually, I just remembered that. Gail actually looked up a whole heap of personality traits at one time or other. And she presented this to me and she said, Dad, that's you. So a debater is the way that she sort of counted the most there. I thought it was just nice to people. Not always, wasn't. Where's the disputer of this world? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? In the Amplified, it says, hasn't he shown it up the nonsense and folly of this world's wisdom? It says, for after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom, they didn't know God. By all of their intelligence, by all of their deliberating, their philosophizing and everything else, none of those things brought them knowledge of God. If anything, it dragged them further and further away from the knowledge of God. So it says that it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. It says, I can create a testimony in those that in any other way, by any worldly standard, we might see them as being foolish, weak, as I said, base and despised and all that sort of thing. I can create such a testimony, I can work such a work in them, we can save those who would believe. Would be able to get, they'd be able to see that there's a testimony there. You know, the politicians, the clever philosophers, the lawyers, the lawmakers, the educated scholars, even religious leaders of this world, they're actually all joined together in a way to try to, and we'll give a few things to you, to trick, to confuse, to muddy the thinking, to create doubt, to challenge God's truths that we know, to make us feel inadequate, if they could, in our belief about the truth that are contained in the Word of God. And sometimes they can appear very, very clever, but sometimes, of course, they are not. I mean, we generally attribute that to somebody become, say, a lawyer. I've got to be a little bit careful what I say here, because there might be a lawyer who's going to come up afterwards and actually say some things. But we're just going to say a couple of things about these. Yeah, you can find all the sort of the various little lines and quips that sort of come up along the way. It's actually lucky for us that there's various courts in places like Australia and different places around the world. I mean, you go to some countries and somebody on a whim says, oh, this is the way that it's going to be. In our system of things, if we didn't think that something was fair at a particular level, we can take it to another level. We can appeal a decision and go to a higher level. And eventually we can go even to where the High Court of Australia, here in Australia, and they will make a bit of a judgment on the things that are being presented. And they will look to make sure that all the decisions and the judgments, that they actually are truly legal. They check back there's where the brightest of the people are. They want to make sure that the decision is legal, but it's also reasonable and fair. If you go over to places like England, you'll get the same sort of thing. You can go over there and you can go to the Supreme Court, you know, through Courts of Appeal, Supreme Court. And in the end, we have to judge somewhere that somebody will actually know what they're doing, and they'll make a call. And in the end, because there's nowhere higher to go, and we're going to look at that in the scriptures, where you can't go any higher, eventually they're able to say, this is the judgment. And it's because I say so. It sounds like mums in our homes, doesn't it? It's because I say so. Actually, some lawyers, very bright people, haven't always been all that bright. There's a couple of things that come apparently from true courts of law. The lawyer quizzing some doctors, also very bright people, for any doctors that are in there, and I might need help at some time or other later on. Now, doctor, isn't it true that when a person dies in his sleep, he doesn't know about it till the next morning? Apparently that was asked. The lawyer showed a picture, a witness showed a picture, he says, is that you? Said, yes. And you were present, weren't you, when that picture was taken? You got to worry about some of these things. The lawyer asked the doctor, doctor, how many autopsies have you performed on dead people? All my autopsies were performed on dead people. There's a couple more. Yes, do you recall the time that you examined the body? The autopsy started around 8:30 p.m. And Mr. Johnson was dead at the time? No, he was sitting on the table wondering why I was doing an autopsy. The next day, the same lawyer continued with the doctor. So, doctor, before you performed the autopsy, did you check for a pulse? No. Did you check for blood pressure? No. Did you check for breathing? No. So then, is it possible that the patient was alive when you began the autopsy? No. How can you be so sure, doctor? Because his brain was sitting on my desk in a jar. But could the patient have still been alive nevertheless? Well, it is possible that he could have been alive and practicing law somewhere. Yeah, a lot of people will challenge us, and we've got to come up with answers for them. They want to give us a difficult time about our belief in the Word of God. How can we be sure that this is the Word of God? You know, God has actually proclaimed in the Word of God that it's trustworthy, it's faithful, it's eternal, it's inspired, and it is actually truth. In 2 Timothy, it talks about all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And you can use it as profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness. In 2 Peter, he says you can't just put your own interpretation on it. It came on holy men. They spoke as I moved by the Holy Ghost. It's an inspired thing. The Apostle Paul was able to say in 1 Thessalonians, it's not the word of men. And he said, I'm glad you've actually received it this way. You haven't received it as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. And he was able to say, the things that I write, they're the commandments of the Lord. Do you know, if God really did create everything, he does have authority over all of his creation. Can we go to Hebrews chapter 6? The people will say, how can you just accept that it's all true just because God says it's true? Or somebody in there, they wrote this and said that it's true. We've got all sorts of evidences that we're able to use. But I think the challenge, the Apostle Paul had to sort of deal with that a little bit here in Hebrews chapter 6. And we've got a little story here, just from verse 13. It says, when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he sware by himself. See, it's no good going to God and saying, who gave you the authority to make these proclamations? God could look around and look up. He could look down. He could look left and right. Well, there's nobody else here who was able to do those things. Let's just read through this. And he said, in making those promises, surely, blessing I'll bless thee, and multiplying I'll multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. He endured through God's time frame. It says, for men verily swear by the greater. As we say, we can go through the court levels to as far as we can go and then say, it's because I said so. It's just the way that it is. And an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. If you get as far as you can go, it's like if you get somebody trusted by both parties to confirm that this is truth, then we don't argue about it anymore. It says, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, he confirmed it by an oath. So that by two immutable things, which was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who has fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. In verse 17, if we go on the Amplified, accordingly God also, in his desire to show more convincingly and beyond doubt to those who were to inherit the promise, the unchangeableness of his purpose and his plan, he intervened with an oath. That by two immutable things, he made a promise, and then, as it were, God himself formalized it with an oath. I will not change my word. I will not tell you a lie. He will keep his promises. Back in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, where we started, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, in verse 30, it says, but of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is Jesus, who is of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That's what we got in exchange for foolish, weak, base, and despised. And I will take it from the Amplified. It says, but it is from him that you have your life in Christ Jesus, whom God made our wisdom from God. It's not our wisdom. It's the wisdom of Jesus Christ that he's revealed to us, that he's taught to us. He's revealed to us a knowledge of the divine plan of salvation that was previously hidden and is still hidden from all those other people, and manifesting itself as our righteousness. He makes us look good with his testimony. He makes us look good, and that's the thing that's going to convince people, and that's making us upright and putting us in right standing with God and providing our redemption, our salvation. We could, in a summary, say, how do we know these things are true? Well, because we know that Jesus was risen from the dead. How do we know he was risen from the dead? Because he still confirms his word with signs following. The Lord is going to keep his promises to you and to me because he said so, he promised so, he vowed he couldn't do any more for a group of foolish, weak, base, and despised people. So we say, well, thank you, Lord. I'll leave it there. Amen.